Again, dear brothers and sisters, so good to be here after a year of COVID, back here singing the same songs. God has been gracious. Praise the Lord. So if you want to turn with me to Galatians 3, please. Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. I'll read it one more time. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So what's on my mind tonight is the three R's of the gospel. Really, we've heard it many times. Man's ruin, God's remedy, and man's responsibility. And here in this verse, we have all three of them. But at the very start, we have but the scriptures. And really tonight, that is something that is so much on my heart, is the authority of the Word of God. And as I was thinking about this, I remember reading, or actually watching a video on about 14 years ago on Larry King Live. It was back on YouTube. You can still find it, I believe. And I remember these men, there was this panel of people, and they were all, and actually the question there was, it's quite interesting, such a secular place on CNN at the time. And the question was, how do we get to heaven? How do we get to heaven? And I remember there was a panel of many different religious people, different religions of the world represented. And I remember this person representing this religion said, you get to heaven, I believe you get to heaven this way. And another one said, I believe you can get to heaven this way. And they all had their different ways. But when he came to the Christian, he said, this here is indeed an authority issue. It's an authority issue, because I can believe this, you can believe that, we can all conjure up some kind of different ideas, but what does God say? It's an authority issue. And here when we come to Galatians 3 and verse 22, Paul says, but the scripture. And tonight I was just thinking about that, and here Paul is, when he's writing this, he is talking about to people who they would have only had probably the Old Testament at the time, the Galatians. Most likely they would have had the Old Testament, for most of the New Testament wasn't written yet. Or some of it was, but most probably wasn't. And they would have had access to the Old Testament. And the scriptures there, he would say, the scriptures hath concluded the scriptures. Now, we talk about the scriptures, we have to understand that this is not just any book. This is not just any book. This book is the living Word of God. It's the living Word of God. And it's so powerful. Us who have been saved, we have experienced God speaking to us, even way back when we first trusted Christ, a conviction of sin coming upon us, and all that. And ever since we were saved, we have seen the power of the Word of God in our lives, speaking to us, living. And we read in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is given by God. All scripture is inspired by God. There it is, inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God. Right there, you have authority. This is not just any book. And the next portion I read today is in 2 Peter. He says, in 2 Peter, Peter says that this prophecy is not given by the will of man. But holy men speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what 2 Peter says. So here we have a book that is not like any other book. It is not like any other book. We have the scriptures. And it's very interesting. This past week I was going into my Bible app and I looked up the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha. Now, the Apocrypha is something that is even in the Catholic Bible, and in the Bible where I grew up with, they have it in there, and they take that as part of the Word of God. And I was going through that and just seeing what it actually is. And I'm not kidding you. When you read it, it has an imprint of Maine all over it. I remember actually they attached to Daniel 12 two more chapters of Daniel 13 and 14. And I read it, and it had an imprint of Maine all over it. It was pure novel. And actually, when you go to Daniel 14, you read, not only is it not scripture, but it's completely contrary. Because that's what happens when men who are devoid of the truth, who don't have the Holy Spirit, and they write down, they would obviously come up with complete error. And there you have Daniel there 7 days in the lion's den. 7 days, and things like that. So this book is not, as Peter says, this prophecy was not given by the will of man, but holy men, as were moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote that down. As these men went there, and their hearts and their hands were moved by the Spirit of God, and at the same time, having their individuality and personality, you see that through the scriptures, different people, different personalities, they have their individual styles. They're not robots, but the Holy Spirit grabbed their hand, as it were. And here we have the inspired Word of God, as Timothy says. And then we also have the Lord Jesus Christ says there to the, that's why it's so important for us to trust in this book, because this is a book of authority. We heard Brother Richard there a couple of weeks ago speaking on Hebrews 4. And it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, a piercing asunder even between the soul and the spirit, between the joints and marrow. Very, very quick, very powerful. And it is something that we have to rely on. God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. This is an old statement that's so true, the Word of God. And Jesus said to the Sadducees there, when they had this erroneous analogy of when they came to Jesus, they didn't even believe in the resurrection, but they were tempting Christ. And they came and said, there's this husband and his wife, and the husband dies, and the wife goes and marries his brother, and so on, up to 7 brothers, and they all died before her. And in the end, she dies. Erroneous. But here Jesus says, you greatly err. You greatly err not knowing the scriptures. The Word of God is given to us that we may understand God's ways. So here Paul is saying, the scriptures has concluded all under sin. So now we have the authority issue, the scriptures. The scriptures is what says it. God says this. But then you come, he has said that all are under sin. And here the word for concluded here is the word for shut up or encircled around, enclosed. There's like a circle of humanity, a whole big circle of humanity in sin. All of us in sin, concluded all in sin. There's not one exception apart from the precious Lord Jesus. But we have sinful humanity here. In Isaiah 53, as I enjoyed the past week, is a root out of a dry ground. Here's dry ground, sinful humanity. And all of humanity is sinful. And we think of this, here he's concluding, the scriptures has concluded this. The Old Testament has said this. We come to Isaiah. Isaiah 59 speaks of your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your iniquities have separated you. Sin has come in. And we go back to the Garden of Eden. What happened there? God said, thou shalt not take of the tree of the center of the garden. The day you eat of it, you shall die. You shall surely die. But what did man do? They went ahead and they sinned. And Eve took of that fruit and gave it to Adam. And they ate of that fruit. And disobedience came in. Sin, iniquity, before a holy God. He said, thou shalt not. And what happened? They did. And then sin came in. And there was separation from God. God, and I was just thinking about this today, how God loves mankind. It was very, how do you say this? It was, the Lord did not delight, obviously, in this. He was saddened by this because he actually cursed that serpent. He cursed that serpent because he had fellowship with man, and sin came in and destroyed that fellowship. And now, because of Adam's sin, we read in Romans, through one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. And read further in, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes 7, it says, there's no just man upon the earth that does good and sins not. There's no just man upon the earth that does good and sins not. All under sin. A circle, a massive circle of humanity. You go downtown to the main street, sin is there. You go into Tuxedo, the rich part of town, sin is there. You go to Hollywood, sports, entertainment, into the religious world that tries to get to heaven by their wicked pride through a different way than God has said. Sin is there. Sin has corrupted humanity. And I was just thinking about this, how humanity tries to come to God a different way. And that's where all scriptures comes in. We think of how the scripture has concluded that all are under sin. And I was thinking about this builder. Let's say there's a designer who's designing his house, and he gets a builder in, and this builder comes along and says, and just goes and starts building it the way he thinks. You know how long that guy is going to last on a job site? He's going to be immediately removed, because it has to go according to the designer. And the designer has said here that you cannot come to heaven in your own strength, in anything that you do, because you're corrupt, you are ruined, you're all under sin. We read in Isaiah 64, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Why does Isaiah say that? Why is that what God says? It is because that it is all tainted with sin. God is holy. He is a holy God. And so we have here, but even God has given us the scriptures, the commandments to tell us that we're sinful. He has given us the Ten Commandments. Even Paul there in Romans 7, he said, I did not know lust until the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now, Paul was a very blameless man as far as mankind is about, as far as horizontal was concerned. The outward things, he was blameless. But his inward life, his thought life, was filled with sin. He had covetousness. God said, thou shalt not covet. And Paul says, that was before he was saved. The law came to him. Before the law came, I was alive. Relatively speaking, sin was dormant in me. It was there, but it wasn't. It was more dormant. But as soon as a commandment came, sin revived, and I died. So he says, sin by the commandment produced in me all kinds of evil desire because of the sin that's in us. The law is good. God has given us the law because it is holy, it is just, it is good. But it's the sin in us that is the problem. And God has given us the Ten Commandments to show us. Even Paul there in Romans 7, he recognized that actually sin revived and I died. No more hope because I'm full of sin. I recognize it now. I'm full of sin because he says, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not desire things that are not yours. And what has you tonight, you can put yourself up against God's holy word. If you're a dear child, have you desired toys that are not yours? Or something, or even older person if you're not saved. Have you desired houses that are not yours? Or cars, or whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, covetousness in the heart. Thou shalt not. And what does the sinful nature do? It immediately comes out and says, I want to do that. So God gave us the law, the Ten Commandments, as a mirror to look at it and say, you know what, I'm undone. I am a sinful man, O Lord. I am sinful. I am corrupt. So the scripture has concluded all under sin. Even Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now we come to the precious Lord Jesus Christ, and he is a balm for the weary. He is, I remember that hymn, I love that hymn that says, no subject as glorious as he, no theme so affecting to us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the answer. God, I loved what the brother prayed in the prayer meeting there, that God sent his son to be the savior of the world. Here God sees mankind in all his sin. He sees that we are undone. And even back in Genesis, God's plan was to redeem man. He loves mankind so much. He loves you tonight so much. And he actually said, way back then, as soon as he sinned, he killed an animal and he put made them a coat of animal skins. An animal had to die. They did not die. God said, thou shalt surely die. But they did not die. Why did they not die? Physically even. Because an animal was taken, killed, and the coats were put upon them. There was substitution made. And now God here sees, here he says, Christ, my son, my beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. It is the answer for man's sin. And that's where the cross comes in. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. We read in Hebrews, he was harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He is the one that came out of a dry ground, a root out of a dry ground, completely separate from the rest of mankind. He was a full man, a true man. But that holy thing that shall be born of you, the angel said to Mary, shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing that shall be born of you. So he is the one who is a true man, because he is the one who came to Bethlehem. Read in Micah 5, it says, O thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, but out of you shall he come forth unto me, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So we have the one who's going to come out of Bethlehem, the one who's going to be a true man, a locality on the earth, Bethlehem. He's going to come out of there. But his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting, from the days of eternity, some versions say, from the days of eternity. So he is the one who is, in Colossians says, he is one by the word of his power. He made all things by the word of his power. Everything you see, the trees, the land, everything he made by the word of his power. This is the creator. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet we see him here. And as we sang earlier, Son of God, tis he. On the cross of Calvary. We see him here having lived a perfect life, and he was separate from sinners. We think of how he was tempted in all ways like we were, apart from sin. He had no sin in him. There was nothing in him that would respond to sin. We think of the temptation in the garden, how he was tempted there, and there was nothing inside of him that would even give sin. He could not be tempted by sin because he is God. He is God. And I love what Brother Richard said last time. This has to be nailed down. As I've had conversations with people, professing Christians, who said indeed he could have sinned. No, he could not have, because he's the Holy Son of God. But then here he is, and where do we find him? Where do we find him? We find him on the cross. But first, before we come there, I want to talk about how, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I love that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But where did he give him to? Where did he give him to? We read in Philippians 2, even the death of the cross. There was the whole earth was covered with darkness. And darkness speaks of divine judgment in the scriptures. And here we hear the whole land, not only actually the land, one of the Gospels says the whole land, but another Gospel says over the whole earth. And it's also the sun was darkened. So it's very much a universal thing. But because it's a universal sin, Christ dealt universally with the problem. There he was making atonement. As Scripture has said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died there on the cross according to the Scriptures. But then he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, why have you forsaken me? And tonight, this is the question I want to ask you. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ forsaken? If you're a dear child, why was Jesus forsaken on the cross? Why was he there? And Scripture has the answer. God has the answer. He gave his Son. God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. There he was, bearing our sins. We read in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has gone away in sin. Everyone. And the Lord has laid on him, on Christ has laid on him, the iniquity of us all. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did there. There he hung on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's because of sin. Read further in Psalm 22. He says, "But thou art holy. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." He is a holy God. Sin has to be punished. He loves mankind. He wants to have fellowship with man. But sin is there. It's the problem. He sends his precious son to die on a cross, to take the sin of the world as a substitute. And there he is dying on a cross. But what is his last words there on the cross? He cries out with a loud voice, "It is finished. It is finished." Rest on these words tonight, dear child, dear sinner. Rest on these words, "It is finished." Christ wants you to be saved. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. That's why we read here, "But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, he is the answer, he is the remedy. Sin is the problem. Jesus Christ is the remedy. That by faith of Jesus Christ," and here, that the promise by faith, the promise here is the promise of salvation, of justification, being right with God, the promise of salvation by faith of Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ might be given to them that believe. But the Lord Jesus Christ, there he died. It is finished. And he died and he went into a grave. But 3 days again, he rose again. And the Lord Jesus Christ, right now from heaven, he wants you to know this from the authoritative word of God. He wants you to know that if you believe, it says here, that the promise will be given to them. It doesn't say to all. Okay, we read earlier, it said, all, the scripture has concluded, all under sin. It's a big circle around humanity. Shut up under sin. But now it says here, it doesn't say all. It says to them that believe. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This is a verse that the Lord used to save my soul. My soul there 14 years ago on the washroom floor. I came to him, heard the good news of the gospel. And here I was on my knees before a holy God, crying out for mercy, crying out for him to save me. And you know what? Which verse came to my mind? John 3:16. "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Faith is the exact opposite of works. And if you are a dear child who has tried to believe, you're struggling with believing, you know what? There's another wonderful verse that I love, because that's what I did as well. In Romans 10, it says, "For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Come to him in all your sin. Just come to him and acknowledge it. Say, "I'm a sinner." And tonight, please recognize that you're a sinner. Please, because you'll never be saved if you don't recognize that you're a sinner, that you cannot do anything. You are undone. You're completely unclean before God. You're completely, like Isaiah 64 says, like an unclean thing. And all your righteousness are as filthy rags. There's none that does good, no, not one. Please recognize this, because I read in Luke 9, he says, I'm not sure if it's in Luke 9 actually, but I read it the past week in the gospel. And he says, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Sinners are the ones who are going to be saved. Sinners are the ones who are going to be in heaven. The people were asking his disciples, the Pharisees were asking his disciples, "Why is he sitting with publicans and sinners?" Because in their mind, holy men, as they thought that they were, self-righteous men, tapping themselves on the back, they thought that he should only sit with the higher-ups, the religious elite. But here he was eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. And Jesus says, "They that are whole do not need a doctor, but those that are sick, those who are sick need a doctor." So he says, "I did not come to call the righteous, the self-righteous ones, the ones who think that they're good enough, but I came to call the sinners to repentance." So tonight, please recognize that you're a sinner in need of God's salvation, but God loves you. If you think in Romans 5, it says, God commendeth or demonstrated, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So tonight, we just pray. as dear brother Ian comes up and shares with what the Lord has laid on him, if you're outside of Christ, you will just rest in him. Call upon the name of the Lord in all sincerity and honesty and seek him, and you will be saved. May the Lord bless his word.